that ruling last few months. Amen. Amen. There's a bright side. There's a bright side. And don't you stop until you find it. Because there's a bright side somewhere. Now, I know down south we used to sing this song. I don't know if y'all sing it up here. It probably did over Jamaica, because Jamaica like to copy all of our songs from down south. It gives a rhythm. But nevertheless, you ever seen the song Bright Up the Corner? Where you are. Right? Y'all know, how many know that? Brighten up the corner where you are. Just, see, I told y'all. If they're making to be copying us from the other south, I think they got a spine on them. But brighten up the corner where you are. You know, so if everyone would brighten up the corner where they are, the church would be a much brighter place. Amen. Darkness all around. The song we sang earlier, I never really paid too much attention to the words to the night. Is in every blessing I get from you, I turn back to praise. Every blessing that I get from God, I'm going to turn it back to praise. Amen. So we just bless the Lord and we thank God. Our theme once again is? You know, this isn't just a coin saying. This isn't something that we just made up. But in prayer, God showed us some of the obstacles that we've overcome. Amen. Amazing grace said, through many dangers, torrents, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us. Anybody come this far by grace? Leaning on the arm. So it was 'twas grace. Our Lord that brought me, saved us far. And grace will lead me on. Tonight, believe in God against all odds. You know, if sometimes you just go back, you don't want to just say it, but you gotta read the scriptures. Amen. About how God took impossible situations with man and turned them into a possible situation. How many know when you're dead, that's usually what? When you're dead, it's usually impossible. So our scripture goes back to Jairus' daughter. And when they said to Jairus, he said, leave Jesus alone. Because your daughter is dead and ain't nothing nobody can do about it right now. Amen. But Jesus said, fear not, only the Lord knew. The greatest challenge to us being what he wanted us to be was overcoming the spirit of fear. If they didn't overcome the spirit of fear, it's not enough, just enough to say it, but then you have to believe. He said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And how many know when they heard that, the Bible said the people left him to scorn. He said, wait a minute, she's dead. What are you talking about? I wonder tonight, how many of us feel like we got some dead situations? When everybody else sees and hears about it, they laugh us to scorn. But I heard the Lord say, fear not, believe only, and he will change your situation around. And if it ain't bad enough, look at somebody and say, maybe it ain't bad enough yet. Trust me, God has a plan. God is not one of those God that's impromptu. God doesn't just do things arbitrarily, but everything he works in our life is for a divine purpose. I'll borrow somebody's word for a minute. Everything he does is by divine design. God just, see, I can make it more lively than you. You just, no. But when God does something, he does it for a purpose. God's not just one of those arbitrary gods that say, hey, oh, such and such got dropped here, give him this. But everything God does in all of our lives has a purpose. Amen. Because the Bible says God counsels shall stand. Amen. So we're going to go to our scripture reading in a minute. But how many of y'all know that there's still power in the hymn? So it didn't mean, at first I was going to break that down further, but that wasn't my message. I was going to break that down further tonight, but then I thought about it. I said, you know, I'm down when somebody preach a message and they don't finish it on Sunday, maybe we should give them Wednesday to break it all down. So I was going to break it down, but I ain't going to break it down. Because when I read it, you know, somebody said, why in the world is the power in the? You know, when you think about that, I'm going to mess with it for a few minutes, but I ain't going to go far. Why would the power be in? Right? So if you go back to Exodus, when God gives Moses the command for the high priest and the rope, there's a whole lot in there, so I ain't gonna go into all that. Right? When he gives them the command, God starts off by giving them the command for the head. And then if you read about it in Psalm 133, he talks about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, right? Like the oil that ran from Aaron's head down to his beard and the end of that is down in his skirt. Well, the anointing, can I borrow it? Don't get mad at me. Because I can let you break it down for yourself. But the reason it's in the hem is because all of the anointing oil. You imagine it running down the head, down the beard, down the clothes. But when he had to finish the bottle of a priest's robe, it had the pomegranates and the diamonds and the different things in it. So when they came down, all of the anointing oil gathered in the hill. So the woman said, I know I read about God's anointing. And I know only the anointing can destroy the yoke. I know only the anointing can set the captive free. I know only the anointing can liberate those that ain't bound. So she said, if I can but touch. Thank you, Lord. Because the anointing had flown from the head down to the bottom. She said, if I can but touch. So him that was growing, I shall not might be, but I shall be made whole. Something about the hill. Now the woman, you know, a lot of times we read the woman. Look at somebody and say the woman. It ain't the man, it's the woman. I mean, God could use a man because he used the woman. Right? But the woman, when you think about her whole situation, I'm only going to stay here for a few minutes, all right? I'm just gonna roll in your thunder for a minute. Right? Just a minute. But the woman had the issue of blood. The Bible says she spent her life savings going to men, the physicians of men. And it says she didn't go better, but she grew worse. So she had this condition for how long? 12 years. I'm just speaking to somebody tonight that don't realize that there's still power in the hand. She had that condition for 12 years. She had went from being having some substance to being poor. And not only that, she was weak and debilitated because it was a blood condition. And anybody that know about blood know that when the blood is weak, the body is weak. Hallelujah. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, there were things in the way of her getting to the power that was in the hill. Hallelujah. But the Bible said, even though she was surrounded, Jesus was surrounded by a throng, a woman in her weak and debilitated condition said, I can't let them stop me from getting to Jesus. Anybody tonight can weaken by a situation. when they say all those people were messed up. The woman didn't take it off. How many know God still had power in the hand? And because that woman didn't take it off, it said as many as they brought to Jesus and touched him, how many, anybody tonight need to reach out and touch her? Forget about your circumstances. Forget about your conditions. It's time to touch the hymn. And the scripture said every one of them will be. Anybody needs some healing? Anybody needs a divine touch?
All right.
All I want you to do is believe. He said, remember, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that just believe. And though he was dead, yet shall he live. Anybody got some dead situations? Right? Hallelujah. On paper, it's hopeless. And in the eyes of everybody else, it's impossible.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid,
instructing those that oppose in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them in repentance to the what? The knowledge of the truth. And then they may from the recover themselves from the snare of the what? Devil, who are taken captive by him. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, it's blessed already. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Paul instructs Timothy, he says, study. Amen. A lot of times we say, I read the Bible. He didn't say read it. He said, do what?
Study.
To show thyself what? Prove unto God. He said that when it comes to the word of God, I don't want you to just study like you're just a laborer. Amen. But I want you to study that as a what? A worker. He said, you know what? I want you to work the scriptures. You know, a lot of us read the Bible, but we don't work the scriptures. Amen. A worker that needed not to be. So when somebody asks me something about the word of God, I've been studying. Amen. So I'm not ashamed, and I can answer those questions. A worker that needs not to be ashamed, and I'm able to not just divide it, I want to do it outright. Rightly divide the word of truth. But then drop down to verse 19 rather. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. There's nobody can change God's foundation. There is a challenge to God's foundation. And I believe it, let's go to, I think it's Psalm 10 and verse 4. It's either Psalm 10, 4, 11, 4. Let's go there for a moment. One moment. The foundation of God standeth what? Sure. There is no one. There's not a man. There's not a devil. There's not a demon. There is no one that can break or stop God's foundation. Amen. Actually, Psalm 11 and verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3. So the foundation of God standeth what?
Sure.
Whatever God has established, I don't care who comes against it, they can't change it. Paul said, you can do nothing against the truth. God's word is truth. God's word is a solid foundation. Somebody said, well, what do you do? I go to the foundation. Right? That's where everything is built. So if you start on a poor foundation, if you don't have no scriptural or biblical foundation, you're going to be tossed about with every wind and doctrine. Right? So you got to have a solid foundation. But Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what are the righteous going to do? Right? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are, is a solid foundation. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're part of the foundation. But it said, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Then Paul deals with the Corinthians, talks about building on a foundation. Now, if you build it on a strong stand, this stuff is coming down. But if you build your building on the word of God, Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build. Hallelujah. When you stay on the foundation, anybody in the foundation tonight? He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and not even the kings of hell will be able to prevail against it. Now my question tonight, are you in the church? Then you're in the foundation. Well, why do we worry about all the stuff that's coming against us when the Lord assures us, you just be righteous and stay in the foundation. As long as you don't destroy the foundation, the righteous has hope. But if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We got to stay in the foundation. Well, what is the foundation? It is the word of God. chapter 2. Amen. The foundation is the word of God. So it said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are. He said that if you're going to name the name of Christ, you got to be barred from iniquity. Could also be interpreted lawlessness or unrighteousness. If you're going to be in Christ, you cannot be in Christ and be unrighteous. Amen? If you're going to be in Christ and you want something from Christ, you got to do it Christ's way. Jesus on the Mount of Beatitudes said this, only the pure in shall. Anybody want to see God? Then we need to work on purifying our hearts. Amen? You know, it's like a lot of us got water purifiers in our homes. And if you don't, you ought to get one. Amen? You ought to get a water purifier because it eliminates a lot of the toxins out of the water. And just for you, no charge. How many of y'all like hot showers? Everybody, come on, y'all like hot showers. Everybody like hot showers, right? A hot shower is good, but without a filter, it's not good. Right? Because when you take, when your body is hot, it opens up the what? We're gonna just do a small class here, right? So we get, somebody look at me and say, where is he going? I'm going somewhere. You gotta follow me. Alright? So he said, a hot shower gotta have a filter, right? So when your pores are open, right, everything that's coming through that shower now is going to into your body. Right? So they said there's arsenic. Just read up on something found in the water recently. Arsenic is in the water. They found feces in the water. Right? There's chlorine in the water. What chlorine does is it kills oxygen. Right? That's just a few things. So every time you take a shower in hot water without a filter, that stuff is going into your body. No charge. Somebody say, well, I didn't come here for that. I'm just trying to help you out. You want to be healthy, you have to do some things to help yourself. And tap water. Alright, I'm gonna deviate just a few minutes. Alright. Tap water. For some reason, some bright engineer, they were bright but not so bright, got the idea to put fluoride in water to help with tooth decay. Right? Well, why are you going to put fluoride in water to help with tooth decay? When you drink water, it don't get on your teeth. Right? So, fluoride, I was reading this dentist, he was arguing with all these people that's been coming against fluoride in the dental industry for all these years. He said, all these kooks, crazy people fighting fluoride. And this dentist, after 20 years of fighting, sat down in his office one day and a light came on. As he was sitting there looking at his element chart, he looked at fluoride. And then he talked for a minute. He said, wait a minute, fluoride? He said, this is what he asked himself. He said, where's my common sense? When I was in dental school, when we learned the elements, how many of y'all in school, y'all learned the element charts, right? Yeah. Y'all don't know what I mean? AU ain't all, AU is dull. Right, but when you look at the element chart, he said, wait a minute. Fluoride was one of the most toxic chemicals on the element chart. So he began to scratch, he said, wait a minute. Why would we put something toxic in toothpaste? To the point that they say if you swallow a pea size, go to your quality control center. Right? I'm just saying this is what they got on. Just a pea. Who else to use toothpaste as a pea size? Like somebody said, I don't believe it. If I had the internet, I'd pull it up and show it to you. Yeah, but just look at your toothpaste when you go on. But what I'm saying is that fluoride was worse. So I'm saying. So he thought about it. He said, wait a minute. He said, all this time I'm listening to what the professionals are saying. He said, what happened to my, this is a dentist, after 20 years, he said, what happened to my common sense? He said, we learned about fluoride, and then, you know, what's the first thing Hitler did when he wanted to brainwash all the people in Germany? Put fluoride in the water. You know why? Because fluoride destroys the brain cells and your ability to think for yourself. That's enough of that. All right, and I'm not going to start grunting a bit. I'm just giving y'all some things you got to go do for yourself. Right? But when you take a shower without a filter, all of these toxic things are going into your system. Right? Then you go to the doctor, and the doctor can't even figure out what's wrong. So you need to do some things to help yourself. Amen. So let's get back on pure and hard. All right. I just feel that to show sometimes in being pure, you have to do some things to help yourself. You can't depend on everything that's out there, but you have to help yourself. Amen. But Jesus said, only the pure in heart will see God. We can no longer continue to act out the part without living the part. You can't act it without living it. Amen. So let's get down to verse 20. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some honor and some in dishonor. He said, but for those who love the dishonor, if a man would purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Then the thing is, you search yourself. Am I a vessel of honor? A vessel of dishonor. The law said, if there for any reason there's some dishonor, or Paul said, if there's some dishonor, and for those of y'all, I know some of y'all said that it wasn't Aquila and Priscilla that needed corrected. I know. I forget who it was. Aquila and Priscilla was corrected, but that's in Acts 19 chapter, 17 chapter. But let's keep going anyway. I just for my critics, because I know I've got some. You always got critics. That ain't what the Bible said. All right. But nevertheless, he said, we need to purge ourselves. Amen. We need to cleanse ourselves if we are a vessel of dishonor. And in purging ourselves, to purge means to what? Cleanse. We cleanse ourselves. David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. And I shall be ready. So we need purging, we need washing, we need cleansing, amen? But the one I really want to get to is verse 22. Let's get to verse 22, all right? It says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow. The first thing that you want to do, if you want to purge yourself, is you got to follow righteousness, which means to be right in the sight of God. Right, so the first thing we have to do is follow righteousness. Then after we follow righteousness, we have to have faith, charity, which is agape of God's love, peace, within the call of the Lord out of a pure heart. That's why the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing, but come ye out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Because we're supposed to be within the call of the Lord out of a pure heart. So my constituency, nobody in church is perfect. How many know nobody in church is perfect? But someone that willingly lives contrary to God's word is not pure. The scripture says concerning pure and doing what's right in God's eyes. He says, unto the pure all things are. What that really means is that, you know, people in that church that mean well, even when somebody messed up, they don't find the wrong, they find the good. Right? So even when somebody did something, you turn it around for the good. So unto the pure all things are, but unto the undefiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. So no matter how much you do for an individual, they always find fault. Because there is no purity in them. So he said, you got to be within the call of the Lord out of aid. So if you were somebody that doubts, trashes, and discusses people and break them and tear them down, that's not a pure heart. I'm not going nowhere, so don't y'all get no ideas. Unless the Lord sent me there. But I ain't, he ain't sent me there yet, right? But you're supposed to be within the call of the Lord out of a pure heart. So if you're with someone and they keep a whole lot of stuff going, and their heart is not pure, only the pure in heart will see God, amen? But foolish and unlearned questions of Lord, knowing they do generous strife. And the one I want to skip down to is verse 25. You know, and a lot of times in church, with us dealing with individual or dealing with people, we'll say, just keep going till it shows up. He ain't gonna show up and get dark. I see it. Yeah, stop looking at me. I'm trying to help you out. I can see it. A lot of times we'll be in church, and you know, there are some of us, my grandmother told us this when we were little, she said, the problem with people in church is everybody thinks people are born in grace when the Bible says that you what? Grow in grace. So in one in grace, it don't mean we're gonna all come at the same time. Right? Like little pumpkin only has two teeth. There's nothing wrong with little pumpkin. And little pumpkin is how many months older than Jordan? I think like 4 or 5 months older than Jordan. Jordan has 6 teeth. Of at least 4. I know she got her front and top and bottom, right? So somebody said, wow.
Sister to sister.
Because I don't find evil spoken of. Right, so it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to thee. So the pure in heart will try to help bring out those that are in error so that they will acknowledge the truth. Well, how are you going to do it? In meekness? Not. I'm so glad there's nobody here like this. You know what I'm saying? Do we have anybody like this? Now, I ain't going to use that example because y'all might think I'm talking about cheap. But in meekness. Yeah, I just have to do that every once in a while to make y'all think. Right? But in meekness, you have to help somebody that's imposing themselves. Not because the church has taken people coming up short too personal. If I fail and if I mess up, I'm not messing you up, I'm messing me up. And if I mess up, I'm not messing you up, I'm messing up before God. So in meekness, I say, you know what, brother, sister, listen, all that stuff you're doing is wrong, but just take some time and try to come back to God. You don't even realize it, but you really are opposing yourself when you act contrary. If you do it in meekness, it's just kind. Meekness is not, as my good friend Dr. Musa used to call it, meekness is not a partisan lecture. He didn't know how to say tail off, so he called it a partisan lecture. Partisan lectures helps no one. Because you're supposed to instruct them in meekness. Right, so when we want to help somebody, of course, we can do it our way, but our way might not necessarily be in God's way. Amen? So he said, in knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves from what? The snare of the devil has entrapped them, and they don't realize it. So because you are spiritual, and you have spiritual discernment, and you can discern between truth and error, you say, you know, I must help them. Don't take it personal when someone fails. Right? We know what we do. Say, hey, you've been in church long enough. They got just what they deserve. That is not God. Amen. If you ever hear somebody talk about somebody getting just what they deserve, excuse yourself. And say, I cannot handle that. Because my company is supposed to be with those that call out God out of a pure heart. So when somebody is acting not pure, that is not God. Amen? Y'all with me? Alright, so if you want to help them, because they have been taken captive at by the devil, who's taking them captive at his will. But they really are opposing themselves. So in meekness, when I see them, I say, you know what? I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Amen. I don't want to see anybody lost. I don't want to see anybody damned. So I'm going to do whatever I can to help them so that they do not oppose them. And then if they don't get it, when I talk to them and try to help them in meekness, right? If you're screaming and yelling and pulling all your hair out, I didn't pull it out, it just fell out. But if you're pulling all your hair out, you're screaming, you're yelling, and the neighbors 10 blocks down the street can hear you trying to help somebody, that ain't meekness. Y'all with me? Right? If you're driving down the street and you're trying to help somebody and every car in the block has stopped and watching the show, that ain't meekness. Right? If you got to go down into 10 basements so you can scream and yell and get it out so nobody can hear you, that ain't. Because in meekness, we are supposed to help instruct those that are opposing themselves. Do you think a person would willingly, with a right mind, in their right mind, oppose themselves? You know, that's almost like you shadow boxing, but instead of you hitting the shadow, you hit yourself. So we're supposed to instruct them how in meekness. You know, they're telling me off and calling me everything that I
But you know what? I'm going to just do it in meekness. You know, that brother, that sister, that whatever just loves me the wrong way all the time. You need to get some meekness. Right? Because in meekness, you can help them. Now, that's one problem with meekness. Y'all know what the one problem with meekness is? Those first two letters of meekness. Me. When you just get to me, you messed up. You gotta add the meekness. Look at somebody say, you gotta add meekness. Yeah, that's the problem with meekness. Some of us is too much in me. Right? So how are you gonna help somebody else who can't get out of you? And you're gonna instruct them? The first time you say something crossways to somebody, your teaching days are finished. Because they ain't gonna receive nothing you have to say. Because you have offended them. The Bible says, I'm gonna quote some Proverbs. Y'all Proverbs readers. One every day. It says a brother or sister offended is harder to be won than to conquer a city. If you offended. So you offended somebody and you think you're gonna help them? No. Y'all been reading Proverbs? I'm on it again. Right. Because you know what? We need some elementary parts of life to get ahead. So we need to stop. Once upon a time, I ain't gonna say where. I've never seen so many people just want to tell people off. Not here. I said once upon a time is a story. Once upon a time, not today, but once upon a time. What's the purpose of telling somebody off? So you feel good, but what have you done to that spirit? Did you strengthen and help them, or did you debilitate them spiritually? I'm just talking about what the Bible says. Because y'all get awfully quiet in here. Somebody said, when you get quiet, that means you stay there longer. So if you don't want me to say that long, at least say amen to move me on. But I'll probably come back anyway. But meekness means, you know what? And this is the God's honest truth about church. Some of the most godly wicked people I've ever seen in church. Godly wicked. Because they so saved. You know what James said? Y'all know what James said? James talked about a little member. I wonder who James was around. You think he write to the world? What was James write to? James said that little member is full of deadly poison. It's an unruly evil. No man. Containment. That was over 2,000 years ago. You mean you still got that same unruly member in the? We are supposed to embody Christ. Christ, they brought him, I'm not going to get to this, but I'm going to finish almost here. They brought him a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. They said, now what you going to do about it? Right, this in y'all's language, what they said, but in language that you can understand, she's guilty and she's caught. Now what you gonna do about it? Because the law says she ought to be stoned, right? And you know, and I heard a preacher say, well, if they brought her, why didn't they bring the man too? Right, but that's we're not in that part. So they brought the woman to Jesus, said she's guilty, she's no good. Should have never wasted your time and bringing her to church anyway. She's just no good. Every time you turn around, she's just messing up. Hey, I told my job, let me be quiet. I said that's what they brought the woman to Jesus and said, you see, no good, no way. You always mess up. So good old Jesus, in his meekness, he simply stooped down and began right on the ground. They said from the oldest to the youngest. They all said, man, what in the world is he laying on that ground?
Being that he was the Lord, I'm sure he was writing down all the things that they were guilty of. But nobody had brought them to Jesus. So you know what Jesus was doing? He was in meekness instructing those that were opposing themselves. Then when he finished writing, you know, God in his great wisdom, he said, you know what, I left anyway. He looked up. He had to look up. He already knew they were gone, right? He looked up. He said, woman, where are thy accusers? This is a teaching moment. Meekness, right? Not being, you ain't no good. Mama ain't no good. Daddy ain't no good. Old family ain't no good anyway. He said, I'm not talking about what I heard in church. Rest of them ain't no good. You ain't gonna be no good either. That ain't in meekness. About that time, you know, if you ever go to somebody and start talking to them, they start writing on the ground. And look at somebody and say, don't you write on the ground. But the Lord said, woman, where are thine? She said, sir, there is no man. You know what the Lord said? Because he knew what the law said and what the word said. He said, neither do I accuse thee. Just go and sin no more. Right? So the church, young people, old people, our job ain't to be harassing and belittling and talk about one another. Paul calls it biting and devouring. What? In church, you're not supposed to be a spiritual cannibal. You know, what do cannibals do? They eat what? They eat people. Right? You're not supposed to be a spiritual cannibal. Well, what makes you a spiritual cannibal? You're just biting and devouring one another. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, in peradventure, God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We should be so tired of wanting to always find fault with people and situations. There's a lot of times if I know somebody does something, even if somebody tells me, I zone out. You know why? Because I have to deal with those same people, so I'm not going to let you zone me in if I'm trying to help somebody, because if I'm trying to help them and you zone me in, I can't help them for hearing what you said. Right? Even sometimes my wife says, you didn't hear that? I say, nah, I didn't hear it. You know why? Because years ago, once upon a time, there was a situation where people were always happy to talk about people. I go back to my father. To my father said, my father, if you start talking about people, he leave. He just didn't do it. So that, I thought I'd go back to that once upon a time. But God forbid, I was in church. Run each other down like dogs and then get up in church and shout and jump. That's a difficult church to be in. We are to love one another. We are to help one another. We are to lead one another. You know what? The good old saying is, if you can't tell me something to help me, then don't tell me nothing at all. If you can't tell me something to help get me closer to God, then don't tell me. I don't want to know about somebody's personal situation. Amen? Oh, did you hear? Once upon a time. Somebody say, did you hear? I say, no, and I don't want to hear. You know why? Because the devil uses all of that to cause division in the church. All right, so you're spiritual, I'm spiritual. I go tell you something private about somebody. Then you might not have been thinking of anything. Then you know what the devil does? Because you said it, he creates the scenario. So that you can say, wow, they were telling the truth. How do you do something wrong and be true? Right? All right, y'all get some serious people. All right, we're going to close here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So the devil takes him captive as his will.
How does he do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to go to verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, we'll close here. If somebody don't want to tell you something good, don't let them tell you anything at all. That's just the way we should be, because we want to help people in meekness. When Miriam and Aaron messed up with Moses, God told them, he said, you know what? Y'all question the authority that I've set up. They said, this is what God said. He said, now Miriam and Aaron, I don't speak to y'all face to face. I speak to God face to face. And the reason God had to intervene was because Moses was so meek. Moses would have done nothing to correct the situation. So the Bible said God called them outside the camp to deal with this situation. He said, there's not another person I speak to face to face like my servant Moses. He said, why weren't you afraid to talk about him in private, even though you are the brother and sister? Right? Just because you're a family, don't give you permission to talk about somebody else. And y'all gonna say, ouch, or something. Right? So they were brother, sister, Mary, Moses, and Aaron. Because that did not give you permission to run Moses down. So he said, because Miriam got the worst of the situation, she must have been the most guilty. He said, for 7 days, you're gonna be struck with leprosy. Right? And Moses said, oh God, please don't do this. And God said, no, Moses, if she had spit in her father's face, amen, would not be so. He said, she's not gonna be like this permanently, she's gonna be like this for 7 days so that she can learn not to talk about people in church. Can y'all say ouch or something? Man. Bishop G.T. Haywood said it like this. We're gonna go to this. Bishop G.T. Haywood says, every child of God has the Holy Ghost. Right? So when you talk about that child of God with God's Spirit in them, you are talking about God. This is what the old timers taught. They say, you don't talk about saints, because that saint you're talking about has God's Spirit in them. So when you're talking about them, you're talking about God. And you know what's that? The God in you, here's you talking about the God in them. And you come to church waving your hand and John. I imagine when God was looking, he probably said, well, why don't you just sit on there until you get it right? Because you're not me. But verse 3. It's, Paul says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled me. You don't realize that you've been set up. You don't realize that the devil is taking you captive at his will. You don't realize this. So that as the devil beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the. This word simplicity means sincerity and purity. Simply, lest the devil should beguile you of the simplicity and the purity. We're talking about who? The church. Amen. Lest the devil should beguile you of simplicity and purity that is in. In everyday English means we are to act like Christ. Tonight, many times we come up short. We allow other people to drag us into situations that don't even involve us. We talk about everything to make a person look bad. You know, instead of talking about people that you don't have issues, how about praying for them? I heard Paul say we ought to bear one another's as we all stand. I know this ain't what y'all came to church to hear, but if you talk about people, read about it in Galatians chapter 5. I give you permission. Galatians chapter 5. It talks about using our liberty. Amen. Though we are free in Christ, we're not supposed to use our liberty for our occasion of the flesh,
Neither are we supposed to use our liberty to eat and bite and devour one another. We're talking about what? In church. If you know someone has something, you know, you ever have a little private book called a prayer journal? Why don't you put them in the prayer journal and pray for them that God changes them? You can tell a million people it does nothing to help that person. And then all of a sudden, you tell somebody something, and then when they go in to that individual, they react the wrong way, and the person said, y'all been talking. Listen, in church, it ain't supposed to be like that. I don't care if it's a sinner down the street, you ain't supposed to run people down. In meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. As the elders and the ministers come forward, we got a lot of stuff to do. And the change has to come from within us. And we have to do it out of a pure heart. Amen. If I can't say anything to help you, then I won't say anything at all. The Bible said, these six things does the Lord hate. And the seventh is an abomination. What's that? He that soweth discord among. Well, what's discord? He just talking. Right? He's just talking. Right? The Bible says, I'm going to go to Proverbs again for a minute. It says, a talebearer revealing secrets. You know, a person that's a busybody, it means a gossiper, they just tell everything they know. But they say, he is of a faithful spirit, concealeth the matter. In other words, they don't go telling everything. They say, listen, I know what they did. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to conceal it. And concealing it, I'm going to cover it. But a talebearer can't wait to tell the next person and the next person. Then before you know it, you got a spiritual pain in place because people got so much messed up. Isn't it time for us to be pure before God? Only the pure in heart shall see God. Hallelujah.